radio and saw Gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
I don't know, this stupid Jennifer Lawrence movie that I saw, or the Walmart story, or what is this, Trunk or Treat? I really don't know what is a hotter story. Are we on? All right. Coming up in just seconds, Dr. Dave Iser with your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Did you ever try to do the right thing at work and then be threatened with termination? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. That almost happened to me. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We have 8 lines on our cell phone plan.
Do you think that's enough, or should we get a few more?
Maybe more, but very specific rules with cell phones and the kids, and we'll tell you about that tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
This week's edition of Florida Stories has a little bit of everything. We've got druggies acting crazy, kicking indoors. We got shoplifters pepper spraying cops. We got a naked dude on a Ring doorbell camera. And we even have some cousin love. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell a story from my high school years where I was almost framed for a crime I did not commit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool Muncie, Indiana stripper. Job interview, Kia. Details later, strippers on loose, Sterling at night. This is Velo Hool in Muskegon, Michigan. Ingenuity, Walmart associate. Yes, you heard me use ingenuity, Walmart associate in the same sentence. Details later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
I was watching this Jennifer Lawrence movie this afternoon. I like rom-coms. I like romantic comedies. I don't like British mysteries. I don't like violent movies. I don't like any of that nonsense. I like rom-coms, but even better are teen rom-coms, preferably from the 80s. But Jennifer Lawrence was in this movie this year, which was a 1988-style teen rom-com, where she plays this busy girl who lives in Montauk in a house that her mother left her. And a local family needs their son, who's about to go away to college, to learn the way of the world with a woman. He doesn't come out of his room. He has never had a girlfriend. He's a virgin. And Jennifer Lawrence is supposed to solve the problem. Well, why would Jennifer do this? Because she needs a car. Why does she need a car? Because she didn't make car payments. Her car was towed away. Rich family says, you take care of our son, and we will give you this car. Wow. Okay. And I'm starting to watch this movie, which was a traditional, typical teen rom-com from 1988, and the name of which I have forgotten, but it'll come back to me, even though I'm really freaking old. And I'm thinking, why is Jennifer Lawrence, a Academy Award-winning actress, and Matthew Broderick in this crappy movie? I mean, this is a bad script. Everything about it's bad except for those two. They saved the movie. But I get to watch Jennifer Lawrence, and then at one point, pay attention, Jennifer Lawrence is nude, completely nude, on the beach. All right, that's how I spent my Sunday. Was I prepping the show? Was I preparing the show? No. Charles Van Zandt, producer, was preparing the show. That's what a producer does. A producer says, here's the show, Walter, do this. That's never happened to me in my life. What I say to my producers are, here's the show, edit them the best you can, and this is one of the things that Charles edited for us today.
It looks like Halloween is saved this year, especially right here on Fort Myers Beach. We know that this is the area where Beach Baptist Church once stood. And after all of the devastation, you know, that Trick or Trunk event had to be canceled last year because of Hurricane Ian. And it was almost canceled this year because, well, the church tells me that they were not going to receive a grant this year. So they had to figure out what they were going to do with funds. So they decided to cancel that event. However, you, the community, a along with Beach Talk Radio, got together and raised that money. Now, this has been taking place for more than a decade. So more than $2,000 was raised to save this event. Again, we're told that that money was raised in less than an hour by you, the community. I recently interviewed Pastor Sean Kritzer with Beach Baptist Church. So he explained that the government grant ends on October 13th. So they had to make a difficult decision to divert those funds. But again, it all changed when Beach Talk Radio and the community raised that money. I talked with Pastor Kritzer about bringing back some sense of normalcy and the tradition for our area.
For us, it's always been, it's always on Halloween, and it's always a safe place for kids to come and trick or treat. You know, and the beach is, it's always been hard for, it's not a neighborhood type beach, you know. Our neighborhood happened to be one of the only ones that had connecting streets. So people would park at our campus and then they would trick or treat our neighborhood, but then they would keep coming back to the campus for the party.
What the hell are they talking about? First of all, she keeps calling me, you, the community. No, my name's not the community. I'm not you, the community. Twice that reporter said, and thanks to you, the community. What? Somebody gave her a memo that said, okay, use the word you a lot in your reports. Try to connect directly with the community. She took that together and said, I'll say you, the community. But that's a small market technique. Terrible technique. But it has not solved the bigger mystery, which is, what the hell is trunk or treat? And then, just as I'm learning about what the hell trunk or treat is, I see the dark side of trunk or treat. Don't worry, nobody was killed. A St. Louis County cop told people at an elementary school Halloween event they were all going to die before firing about a dozen shots in the air. According to court documents released on Monday, attendees frantically ran for cover and tried to shelter children who had been separated from their parents. Matthew McAuliffe, age 39, was charged on Monday with 4 counts of child endangerment, 5 counts of armed criminal action, 1 count of making a terrorist threat, and 1 count of unlawful use of a weapon, all of which are felonies. The incident started last Sunday afternoon at a trunk or treat event for Tillman Elementary School in the parking lot of North Kirkwood Middle School, according to court documents. Police said this guy approached several people and made death threats. Someone eventually shoved McAuliffe after he threatened the person and their wife. He then fell to the ground, surrounded by hundreds of children, stood up and pulled up his shirt to display a handgun and badge. McAuliffe then fired into the air at least a dozen times while shouting again that everyone would die. Several people tackled this guy, took the gun from him. This was at a trunk or treat event in St. Louis, in Kirkwood. A trunk or treat? I'm like, what is? At first I thought, like you did, that it was a mispronunciation or a misspelling. What is a trunk or treat event? Well, it turns out that much like Elf on the Shelf, it's another aberration of a holiday we do not need. We do not need Elf on a Shelf. It's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I'm exhausted. I've had to put the Elf on the Shelf every night this month before Christmas. I'm like, what? What are you talking about, Elf on a Shelf? Yeah, my preparation for Christmas was to hide the gifts, help Santa hide the gifts. That was my job. That was it. I'm not putting elves on shelves. It's just too weird. Well, now there's a thing called trunk or treat. I'm going to tell you what it is, and you're not going to believe it. If you don't know, you're not going to believe it. But you will understand why it could compel people to violence. You take your car. You go to a parking lot where others have taken their car. You open up your trunk, and you decorate it in the most elaborate display possible for Halloween. Your open trunk reveals a dungeon, a prison, a cauldron, something scary filled with treats. And then in this parking lot, kids go car to car and they get their stuff and fill their bags rather than going through the neighborhood, knocking on doors, exhausting the poor parents, They all get to come to one central location. It's called Trunk or Treat. Have you experienced this? This is the dumbest aberration I've heard, and I'll tell you why I think it's a particularly dangerous aberration. It has nothing to do with the guy in Kirkwood shooting into the air saying everyone's going to die. Let's hope that never happens again. But there are some risky aspects to Trunk or Treat, and I will share them with you coming up in just seconds. Good evening. This is a live radio show on KMOX in St. Louis, WPHT in Philadelphia. Oh, my God, I can't believe there isn't a game going on. Greg Stocker, yeah, you just keep listening to this show going, yeah, you know, he works for us. He's doing a good job for us. You're damn right, Greg. This is what radio is supposed to sound like. What, have I once mentioned that the problem is with the Democrats? Nope, don't need to. Sterling on Sunday.
Alex Daddario.
Do you just look at my boobs?
I was not my intention. I didn't stare directly at them.
You're looking at them right now.
Now I did. Because you were talking about them.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here to tell you about living in an old house with our 8 kids and our gigantic cell phone bill.
I guess it could be worse. It could really actually be bigger because we do limit the kinds of things and the kinds of plans that we get with our kids. We don't give every child a smartphone.
But we have 8 lines
right
on our plan. 8.
So basically, once a kid is 11, if they leave the house on their own, we don't want them to leave the house without a phone. So if they go to a class, and that's generally about the age where we'll let them go to a class inside a building by themselves. So we want them to have a phone.
Flip phone only.
Flip phone only.
Old school.
Absolutely. Just something so we can keep in touch with them. They can keep in touch with us.
No internet on it.
Once they reach the age that they have their own jobs, they can afford their own phone, and they can pay a monthly bill, then they can get their smartphone if we let them.
And so one of the teenagers graduated to that point today, and so we added another line and another data plan. And, of course, the cell phone company makes you upgrade everything because you have too many lines.
I do want to point out that the teenager that graduated to that point will be 18 years old in 3 days. We're not talking a 13-year-old here. We're weirdos.
So his old flip phone now goes to the youngest. No, not the youngest.
No. The next child who is going to be 11 in a few months, it's now the house phone. And once that child is leaving the house at 11, if that's what we decide to do, they can take that phone with them.
Yeah. Hope you're keeping up with all these rules.
Okay, so just to go back into our rules and how it sort of affects our kids. First of all, everyone thinks it's weird that they can't get in touch with certain of our kids, their friends, when they're a certain age. We have a child who is 15 years old at this point and has a job. And the employer is kind of getting ticked off at us because the child
right
doesn't have a smartphone to get Venmo, to be communicated with easily.
None of that stuff. As far as he's concerned, we're like Amish.
Absolutely. We're weirdos. Why aren't we doing it? But really,
because our 13-year-old has a flip phone, not a smartphone.
Right. And if you're going for a bike ride or you're going to karate class, you have a phone in case of emergency. But really, you don't need all the gobbledygook that comes with the pressures of social media, the internet. Why would you do that to your child? I'm just asking, why?
Agree totally.
If there are any pressures that you can relieve off of teenage kids, why not do it? And I think that the pressures of social media and having that constant communication, if I did not have to have a smartphone and I could sit in my house and not answer the door, you know, for most of the week, I would be a happy woman. So why put that pressure on your kids?
Follow me on Instagram, Dan Gaffney Show.
This is hilarious. Don't give the kids Instagram. Don't give the kids social media. But if you want to find me on Instagram, Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky Gaffney, Sterling on Sunday.
All right, 26 past the hour, live on a Sunday night. It's a beautiful fall night across America. It's starting to hit the 40s in much of the northern part of our country. 80 in Florida. Sebring, Florida, with Michael Ewing and Jay Clark. It's going to be 80 there today. Never once have Jay Clark and Michael Ewing said, hey, Walter, why don't you come down to Sebring, spend a week or 10 with us during February, and let us buy you every meal and let you sleep in our homes. They've never once said that. It's hard to understand. Trunk or treat is the hot topic tonight. Trunk, you know what this is? This is where you and your neighbors take your car, back it into a circle in a parking lot, back it into a line in a parking lot. You open up your trunk, and you're supposed to have it decorated as well as a Disney Imagineer. It's supposed to be spectacular. It opens up, scary, spooky things pop out. It's filled with candy. Kids from the neighborhood can walk around the parking lot and go into each trunk and get the candy rather than having to go through the arduous task of walking up and down the streets. Oh, my gosh, it's so exhausting. Oh, well, here's what's stupid about it. Now, apparently this has gone on for a couple years. It was started by some wacko church, decided that this was a good thing. And then in there was this story that we aired earlier about this church that is very excited about the fact that they're able to do it again this year because they got a $2,500 grant to do it. What do you need money for? I'm stumped. What do you need money for to have a church parking lot, cars come in, open their trunk, kids can go trunk to trunk, trunk or treat, and get goodies that way? This, to me, is insane, because what do you and I teach eight-year-olds? What do we constantly teach eight-year-olds? Oh, and I've got to tell you about the horror show of my Zoom call with my 11-year-old's IEP team. Oh, my gosh. Oh, let me just find an NPR radio and throw it into a bathtub with myself and kill myself. The danger of trunk or treat is it's teaching an eight-year-old that if a car pulls up and opens up the trunk or the back door or the sliding door on the van and says, I have some candy for you, the imprint in the kid's brain is the same as the trunk or treat event. Oh, you open up a trunk and there's candy and that's okay. Mom and Dad said it was okay. I did it on Halloween. It's teaching the worst possible behavior that it's okay to go to a stranger's car and to get candy. Our greatest fear is that our 11-year-old will go to a neighbor's car and get candy out of the trunk or the door. Trunk or treat. Bad idea. Have you had experience with this? This is terrifying to me. My number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. And I'm embarrassed. You know, I'm on top of all modern trends. I know everything about Britney Spears and Britney Snow, who just got a divorce. But I had never heard of trunk or treat until this weekend, when a neighbor said, well, we'd like to take your daughter and her friend to do the trunk or treating. And I thought it was a typo, as you would have thought. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to the famous Gary Arnell, who has a family dilemma. And I want to talk to you about trunk or treat. And then an almost disaster in the air over Alaska. And we are the only radio show in the bottom 48 that has a correspondent in Alaska. You and I will talk to Keith Fons coming up in about 25 minutes, mostly because he won't stop bothering me. He's always bothering me to come on the air. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by George Gilbert.
Get delicious Lancaster brand sirloin, porterhouse, or rib steak for only 79 cents a pound at your Acme Market.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Did you ever try to do the right thing at work and then be threatened with termination? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. That almost happened to me. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This week's edition of Florida Stories has a little bit of everything. We've got druggies acting crazy, kicking indoors. We got shoplifters pepper spraying cops. We got a naked dude on a Ring doorbell camera. And we even have some cousin love. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell a story from my high school years where I was almost framed for a crime I did not commit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own V-Lo Hool, Muncie, Indiana stripper. Job interview, Kia. Details later. Servers on loose, Sterling at night. This is V-Lo Hool in Muskegon, Michigan. Ingenuity, Walmart associate. Yes, you heard me use ingenuity, Walmart associate, in the same sentence. Details later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
888-688-WALT, Walter M. Sterling, live on a Sunday night. And live in Philadelphia because there's no damn game on that nobody cares about. Or worse, the endless post-game show, only done to secure the rights to other games and to load up on a lot of advertising spots. But believe me, nobody in Philadelphia cares about the Notre Dame game or the San Diego game. Nobody. Hello. Last week, you and I had the privilege of talking with Gary Arnell about a dilemma he had with his daughter that he didn't think was a dilemma, and I hope I gave him a dilemma about it. Gary, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Walter, you gave me a huge dilemma about it because I didn't even realize that, by definition, what I was going through with my daughter, Jamie, Walter, was a dilemma.
Well, why don't you start from scratch as a professional broadcaster and let me relax and tell the story from the beginning as to what we discussed while I look at the ceiling.
I absolutely will do that. So my family and I are planning a trip in a couple of weeks to Florida. And my daughter, who is 26 years old, Jamie, she has been wearing a Star of David given to her by her great-grandmother, and it represents a lot of things to her. There's a lot of symbolism. It represents safety, security, love, family, all of that. Now, with everything that's happening in Israel, between Israel and Gaza, I am trying to convince her not to wear this. And I've never seen her without it. I'm trying to convince her not to wear this Star of David because anti-Semitism in the United States has been growing exorbitantly over the past year. And that was prior. I mean, you got to understand, that was prior to this whole Israel-Gaza dilemma. So I'm trying to tell her we want to be safe. Take it off. She said, well, what about if I tuck it inside? No, that's not being safe because these crazies are going to be looking. Now, we're going to be boarding a flight in Philadelphia. Philadelphia has, you got to hear this, the third largest Jewish population in America. There's about 300,000 Jews in the city of Philadelphia right now. We're going to Boca Raton, Florida, where half the Jews in the United States live. There's going to be plenty of Jews on this plane out of Philly going to Boca. And so if somebody's looking to target demographically with some of these terroristic activities, I'm a little nervous about this. She will not remove it. And now, Walter, she's so upset with me that she is threatening to not even tuck it behind one layer. I'm at the point now, I am so upset about this, that I may not go on this trip because I don't understand her ignorance about wanting to. I do understand, you know, you talk about pogroms, you talk about what happened as the Holocaust was becoming part of our scene in this world, and what Jews should or should not wear in public. But right now, it's very, very difficult. And as I said, anti-Semitism is on the rise. And so I'm worried about her safety and her security. She doesn't want to reason with me. And Walter's telling me last week, Arnell, she's an adult. She's 26 years old. You have no right to even tell her what your concerns are about her wearing the Star of David. That has also become part of my dilemma.
Well,
so that's where we're at.
All right. Well, Gary Arnell, your daughter is almost 30 years old. Whatever she does is none of your business. As a father, no father could help but share deep and profound advice about everything with their daughters, but the actions are out of your hand. As you have played this out in your mind, what is the conclusion as of today, Sunday, about her wearing the Star of David on her lapel visible to all. What is the feeling today?
The feeling today is that she is in no mood to even compromise with me, and she feels that this is what the Jews went through during the pogroms in Europe and prior to the Holocaust, and we shouldn't have to hide our religion today, no matter what is happening in the worldly environment right now. And she's totally disagreeing with me. And the part that really concerns me about this, Walter, is I have always had a tremendously close relationship with my kids. And this somehow has gotten huge, and it's at the point where today she said, did you change your mind at all, just before we were going to sit down to dinner? I said, not really. And so I'm upset by this, because think that it's risky. That's all that I'm saying.
What does your current wife say?
My wife from last month agrees with me. My current wife tells me that my concerns are legitimate, but that I can say it once, and then, Walter, I need to leave it alone. I am I'm overwhelmed with this when I see all the stuff that's going
incident,
on.
Has there been any incident in your New Jersey community where she is displaying the Star of David visibly to anybody walking past her? Anybody in the mall, anybody in the overpriced jewelry store, any place where she has been threatened? Has she been threatened or looked askance for her Star of David that you're aware of?
No. I will brutally honest with you, I will tell you that I have not heard, unless she's hidden it from me, I haven't heard of one incident. But to me, this is that proverbial, analysis of oranges and apples. I think this is a whole different arena.
Well, how is this different than a Christian girl or woman wearing a cross on a necklace around her neck?
Well, first of all, at this particular point in time, yes, there is oppression against Christianity. There is you're heading to a KKK, you're going to take a flight where there's a KKK convention, and you're going to wear this, and you know the other people that are going to be on that plane. Well, you might not want to tempt any type of activity like that. But for you to say to me that, has she noticed anything in your local suburban middle-class neighborhood compared to what could happen on an aircraft flying to Boca Raton from Philadelphia, but given everything that's going on right now? I think I have a right to be concerned about it.
Well, all right, what do you think? My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Should Gary Arnell's adult daughter wear a Star of David on her outer clothing, as she has done for years? Or because of the reign of terror going on throughout the world, should she hide her religion? Should she hide her religion? 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. Good evening. It's a beautiful night across our country. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by that Providence judge.
But a handicapped parking placard would allow you to park overnight.
Right.
Unless there's a storm.
Have you watched that Caught in Providence show with the municipal court judge who lets everybody off if they don't have a job? If they don't have a job, he lets them off. Caught in Providence. You seen that show? Oh my gosh, it's so funny. All right, we're with Gary Arnell, whose daughter has this advice from her father, which is, do not wear the Star of David on your lapel in public. She's worn it for years. She's never had a problem. Now Daddy Gary is nervous about it. Mary, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. Mary, what do you think, Gary? What do you think the daughter should do?
Hey, Mary.
Well, first I'd like to ask, Gary, has your daughter, does she have any children?
No.
Okay, so she doesn't understand where you're coming from as a parent. But first of all, when you travel, jewelry makes you a target. Yeah. So I don't suggest wearing any jewelry. But I have a cross that I like to wear, and sometimes I won't wear it in public if I feel uncomfortable with the crowd I'm in. It's just because I don't want to be a target. So don't make yourself a target. That's all you're trying to tell your daughter. Is don't be a target to somebody else.
Mary, I'm not overly concerned. You know, when you just said at the beginning, you know, jewelry always makes you a target. Where there's a difference between... I'm agreeing with you, but not so much on an aircraft. Maybe out in a dangerous neighborhood. Maybe on a subway.
Airport, you get riffraff.
Listen, but you're not going to get that much riffraff on an airplane. You might get some terrorists. You may get some people who are into anti-Semitism even more now than ever before with what's going on in the Middle East. But listen, to say that don't wear any jewelry, I'm not going to agree with that in any capacity, because I'm talking about identifying yourself. And I got to just tell you one thing, Mary. This really hurts. It really hurts that here we are in 2023, and in America, we have got to be concerned about hiding our faith.
Yeah, I agree. I was worried about wearing anything red, white, and blue when Obama was president. So he made me feel uncomfortable about being proud to be an American. So I understand reasons that people have, you know. And I'm sorry for what the Jewish people are going through. This is awful.
It's awful.
I'm sorry,
Mary.
It's wrong on every level.
I agree with Mary. Thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. Thank you, Mary. Thanks for calling. Keith is in Fairbanks, Alaska. He's actually in North Pole, Alaska. And Keith Fons is a regular on Sterling on Sunday just because of the sheer novelty of somebody from Alaska being on a show in America. Get it? Keith, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You're on with Gary Arnell.
Hey, Keith.
Good evening, you guys. Hey.
Now, listen, the reason Keith is also on is because he has a much deeper voice than you or me, Gary, even though we're professional speakers.
Yeah, I noticed that immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And therefore, I'm afraid of him. Now, Keith, how do you feel about this? Gary has told his daughter that she should not wear a Star of David on her outer clothing while on an airplane trip in these troubled times. What do you think about that, Keith?
Well, you know, as a father of five, I can see his perceptive and trying to keep his daughter safe, especially nowadays with what's going on overseas with Israel and all that. But as far as I'm concerned, like every day I put on my cross on myself, and I make sure everybody in the world can see that I have a cross on my chest. You know, to me, that it's kind of like a sign of honor. Like, I believe in this, and so I'm going to show it for the world to see. So I can see where his daughter's coming from, where she's proud to wear that Star of David. And with the past in our world, to be proud and to be able to show it nowadays is a major step from where we were 50 years ago. But like I said, I can see where he's coming from. You know, nowadays on planes and with what's going on in the world, he's just trying to protect his daughter.
Hey, Keith, you're going from Philadelphia, listen to this, with 300,000 Jews. This is driving me crazy. And you fly into the Jewish epicenter of the world on the eastern seaboard of Florida, the West Palm, the Boca, all of those areas there. And I'm just worried. I'm just concerned as a father. And she is really being brutal with me over this, almost to the point where she's not going to talk to me. And if I don't come on this trip with her, we're really going to have a falling apart. I'm just concerned about her well-being. Am I happy that I have to tell somebody to take off a symbol of their religion? In this day and age, I thought we would have come a little bit further than that by now. But this is a troubling event, you know, in my family. It's insane.
But you also got to think, you know, is it worth the fight with your daughter? You know, this may be something, you know, that she may never get over. You know, she's 30 years old, I think you said.
26, yeah.
26. And, you know, with kids, you know, you don't want them to date a certain man or vice versa. And the more you push them, the more they go towards what you don't want them to. You see what I'm saying? Like,
well, that happened with
really,
my wife.
Do you really want to make this into a fight between you and your daughter that she may never get over?
Keith, my wife's mother told her not to go out with me. And she insisted on doing it. And look where that ended up for her. But, you know, look, I know exactly what you're saying. I just find this so damn difficult right now. You know, some woman in Detroit, great city, was killed. She was a leader in a synagogue there. And then some other woman who said, I'm going to take gun lessons now, and I'm going to buy a gun even though I don't want to have one. I'm Jewish. Mostly Jews don't buy the gun. They usually sell the gun. But it's just this is somehow, this just got so deep in my family between me and her, and I don't even know how the hell to get out of it at this point. I just don't.
Well, at this point, you know, just support her and go with her and know that you're going to be right there next to her while she's supporting her necklace. And
yeah,
you know, in the back of your mind, anything happens, you're going to be there.
All right, gentlemen, this is exactly the kind of radio that truckers from coast to coast crave. This is what every 18-wheeler at the Love Truck Stop has been hoping to hear tonight. But don't worry, guys. We'll have the stripper report on soon.
That's
Keith Bonds and Gary Arnell, thank you so much for contributing to Sterling on Sunday and trying to elevate the conversation. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
I had a remarkable event in the parent-teacher conference this week. Can't imagine how you'd handle it any differently. Plus, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 Florida stories coming up for you in just seconds. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday with Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vilo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Ingenuity. Walmart Associate. Yes, you heard me use Ingenuity, Walmart Associate, in the same sentence. Details later, people of Walmart, Sterling at night.
Did you ever try to do the right thing at work and then be threatened with termination? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. That almost happened to me. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This week's edition of Florida Stories has a little bit of everything. We've got druggies acting crazy, kicking indoors. We got shoplifters pepper spraying cops. We got a naked dude on a Ring doorbell camera, and we even have some cousin love. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own V-Lo Hool, Muncie, Indiana stripper job interview, Kia. Details later. Strippers on loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell a story from my high school years where I was almost framed for a crime I did not commit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
One of the worst things you could ever do is be late for a job interview. Your boss or future boss wants to know, hey, is this person reliable? Is this person going to take the extra step? May I introduce you to Cassia Shelton of Muncie, Indiana. Hey, Muncie, in the house. She stole a 2013 Kia Optima from a dealership and went to the state capitol to interview for that job. But here's the good news. Cassia returned the car. She brought it back. She just needed a ride and couldn't afford Uber on the salary of being an unemployed exotic dancer. I think that this woman showed a lot of ingenuity. She also showed an amazing work ethic and a desire to make her life better. Cassia Shelton, we salute you. From the Champagne Room, this is Vilo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
All right, good evening, Sterling on Sunday. Walmart. I had an incredible experience. Truly an incredible experience. I need to get the exact Walmart. I don't want to miss out on this rare opportunity. But first, let me mention the fact that I'm very proud of the fact that Sterling on Sunday is on the number one radio station in Sacramento, California, KFBK, News Radio KFBK. It has a 10 share. This is an AM station that has grown. There's no reason that an AM station cannot get bigger. This has been proven in New York City by John Katsimatidis. It has been proven by Bill White in Sacramento. A 10 share in radio is like a 90 market share in any other industry. This is a huge number. How did he do it? Well, one of the ways is he has Pat Walsh on at night. And Pat Walsh, who's usually on at this time, Monday through Friday, is celebrating his 10th year at KFBK. And it's an honor for me to be on. Well, I don't know if it's an honor. It's a way to make a living. And I appreciate it. Now, so Bill White did this. He's responsible. We thank Bill. I'm not supposed to make a lot of noise about it because of all sorts of corporate dictates, but screw it. Now, oh, that's interesting. You know, what's interesting is to have such a complicated rig set up here for my show that if I get too close to the microphone, it hums. Is it supposed to go like that? I don't think it's supposed to do that. There, it stopped. Are you excited? Are you enjoying this at the Love Truck Stop? Is this what you want? Well, as I've explained too many times, there are three types of Walmarts. There is the ghetto Walmart, where at 11:45 at night you can hear babies screaming and gunshots, and there's always several marked patrol cars at the door. And they also tend to close all of the entrances but one. What that's supposed to do, I don't know. And at 9 p.m., there are no cashiers. Half the shelves are empty. My feet stick to the floor. And in any given product category, they have exactly one brand, one iteration of the brand. For example, with cottage cheese, they may have one brand of cottage cheese, but it's always small curd. There's never large curd, and there are never a variety of brands. That's in ghetto Walmarts. And like I say, half the shelves are empty, especially in the grocery department. The second type of Walmart is the random Walmart. The interesting thing about the random Walmart is these are Walmarts that are honey badgers. They took over the nest of another store. They took over a building made for another store. Therefore, it doesn't quite fit a Walmart. There are major sections of the Walmart missing. I will never forget in Mayfield Heights, Ohio, I went into a Walmart, which is now closed, blessedly. I went into a Walmart. They had a grocery section, and I'm looking around, and no meat. They had no meat. There was not room enough for the meat refrigeration in this particular store, so they just didn't have any meat. But then there are Nirvana Walmarts. These are very rare and must be cherished. A Nirvana Walmart has a cashier at every cash register and no lines. There are, in fact, cashiers who do nothing because there's nobody in line. The feet never stick to the floor. Every shelf is packed to the very edge. Every shelf is packed to the edge. But more importantly, in any given product category, there's every conceivable brand and every subcategory for that product in that brand. I'm driving on the luge this weekend on Saturday. I went up to Syracuse as punishment for all of my trips to Los Angeles. And I stopped in the Mohegan Lake store of Walmart, the Mohegan Lake store, which is on East Main Street in Mohegan Lake, New York. Zip code 10547. They're open until 11, Monday through Sunday, 6 a.m. to 11. This is some store. Every type of everything is in this store. Subcategories of brands that I didn't even know existed were there. For example, I prefer large curd cottage cheese. I can almost never find it. Ever. There I am in this Walmart in Mohegan Lake, New York. And they had the store brand, you know, the Good Value, whatever they call it, the Good Value brand in blue, which is low fat, which I don't want, small curd, don't want, but that's what I usually wind up taking. Instead, you wouldn't believe this. You wouldn't believe this. They had pink containers. These were pink. I had never seen them before in my life. Of Good Value, Great Value, whatever it is, cottage cheese, large curd, whole milk. Oh, my gosh. Large curd, whole milk. I died and went to heaven. I couldn't believe it. That's my exciting news. Good evening. It's live on a Sunday night. Proud to be on KFBK, WPHT, KMOX, giant radio stations across the country. This is live radio as God meant it to be.
Evansville, Indiana. Walmart employee came up with kind of a neat scam. She figured out how to go and pocket cash from imaginary lottery numbers. And she did a lot and actually turned them over to being Apple gift cards. You know, that's hard to trace. And that's what makes this woman today's Walmart theft hero. Jennifer Smith, 43, refunded several transactions, pocketed the cash, fictitious lottery tickets. She got the Apple gift cards and used them, you know, for like going out to dinner and having a great time with friends and buying DVDs. Your Walmart associate sees all the money coming through and they're going, why am I only getting $12 an hour or $15 or $22 an hour, whatever they make? They're going, this company's raking it in. Why not for me? Well, here's the problem. She'd been doing it since August, and Jennifer Smith is likely going to be doing time in the pokey and probably has lost that blue vest, which makes every Walmart associate such a person of respect and interest. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
888-688-WALT. I asked my 11-year-old daughter, I said to her, what's the first thing you remember? And if you've ever asked your kid, your grandkid, or in your case, your great-grandkid, what their first memory was, it's always surprising. It's nothing you would ever guess. And she told me that she described a room in the home that she grew up in a crib. She described the crib. She got it pretty right. Well, so I was thinking, what was my first memory? And my first memory was this. I did not sleep with my parents ever. Never slept in the same bed with my parents. All of my daughters slept in our bed until they were 11. Until they were 11. But even when I was sick, if I was trying to get to sleep and I slept in my parents' bed, I'd last maybe about an hour until my father would pick me up and put me back into my bed. I slept in my own crib. I grew up, first 3 years of my life, in an apartment building in Irvington, New Jersey, at 1038th Street. And I remember this building, 1038th Street. And I remember it well because we moved when I was three. We left that building when I was three. So my memories are very clear in terms of when things happened. If it happened in that apartment, it happened before I was three. I remember how it smelled. I remember the aroma of the lobby, which was cold marble, stucco, paint, cool. It was a cool lobby. It was a heavy building. It was a thick-walled building. So it was cool, and it smelled like cool masonry, stucco wall. And we were on a first-floor apartment. We were in a first-floor apartment, and it was a little one-bedroom apartment, and it was cozy, and it was perfect for a newborn kid with brand-new parents who were, let me get this right, 24 and 28. That's how old they were when they had me, 24 and 28. And I had terrific parents. I have no movie of the week stories for you about my parents. My first memory, I had two first memories. I remember crawling out of that crib when I was probably two and a half, and walking into the living room in the dead of night, and standing in the middle of the living room, amazed by the fact that without light, everything was black and white. I couldn't get over how there was no color. I distinctly remember standing still in that living room, crawling out of the crib on my own, and just standing there. And it was in black and white. Fascinated me. My dad wakes up, and he's startled because I'm not in the crib. And we're in Irvington, New Jersey. And he goes, Walter. And he finds me in the living room. They're like both like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing standing here? And I of course, didn't have an answer. But the other thing I remember from this apartment and living in this apartment, I will never forget this. I have thought about this all of my life. I remember standing in the living room near the living room closet, and out of the floorboards of the living room closet came up a hand. There was no opening there. A hand came up, moved around, and then went back down. It only came up to its wrist, like lurch. But this was long before I saw anything like that on TV. Now my father comes home, and of course, because I'm the first kid and they're earnest young parents, I tell them this story, they take it very seriously. And my father goes, where was this hand? And I show him, and he's checking the floorboards, and he's banging it, and he's like, there's no opening here. There's nothing here, Walter. What did the hand do? Did it try to grab you? Was it threatening? No. It just came up out of the floorboards, moved around, you know, waved around, didn't wave, it just twisted, and then it disappeared back into the floorboards. And I saw it again in another part of the apartment. And I am sure I saw this. Now, what I saw, I have no idea. My father thought, well, maybe there have been construction workers, and they had big hands. They had gloved hands. Did they put them near you? Did they get near your face? No, that wasn't it. This, and in retrospect, if I saw it on TV, it would be from another dimension. That's what it would look like. It would look like it was in another dimension. It appeared in our apartment on 1038th Street in Irvington, New Jersey, and then disappeared. That's my first memory. Those are my first memories. And then the first dreams I remember, and I had three of these dreams. I had birth dreams. Here's how they went. I dreamt that I was floating in silence and warmth and an off-white glow. It was an off-white glow and silence. And then all of a sudden, something opens and I'm rushed into this incredibly bright, loud, terrifying room. Just terrifying. And after I had that dream three times, and that was it. That was the dream. Softness, comfortable, happy, cushioned, safe, and then boom, an explosion of sight and sound and noise and boom, 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 boom. And that was the end of the dream. Then I'd wake up. It was a nightmare. Being born in New Jersey was a nightmare. That was my first dream that I remember. What are your first memories? What's the first thing you remember? Be honest. What's the first thing you remember? Can't get it wrong. It's your memory. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. It's Sterling on Sunday. Good evening. It is always very exciting to be with you. Now, if you send me an email, it'll get answered. Right, Catherine? Right, Karen? WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. That's my email address. But I love talking to you on the phone because you don't fit in. You're a whack job. You're listening to me on a Sunday night. I know you have better things to do. And then I have to tell you about this amazing story of Monaco. You and I will share that. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. What's your first memory in life?
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mark Simone.
I'm sure they love their country, but they don't like their country. They don't like Friday night football. They don't like hot dogs. They don't like the 4th of July. It's the worst day of the year for them.
All right, Sterling on Sunday. It's very exciting. What was your first memory? If you were sitting there with the psychiatrist, what would you say to her that your first memory was? 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. You can't get it wrong. You're anonymous. I want to know what your first life memory is. Dr. Dave Iser, weather.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Ingenuity, Walmart associate. Yes, you heard me use Ingenuity, Walmart associate in the same sentence. Details later, people of Walmart. Sterling at night.
Did you ever try to do the right thing at work and then be threatened with termination? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. That almost happened to me. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This week's edition of Florida Stories has a little bit of everything. We've got druggies acting crazy, kicking indoors. We got shoplifters pepper spraying cops. We got a naked dude on a Ring doorbell camera. And we even have some cousin love. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell a story from my high school years where I was almost framed for a crime I did not commit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Oh, thank you. For our first Florida Story, we're going to Lauderhill, Florida, where I feel like I should just let the news tell you because it doesn't sound believable if I say it. But what would you do if you looked out on your back porch and there was a naked Florida man, you know, burping the worm? We go to local10.com for the report.
It's a little past 9 o'clock at night, and Maurice Richmond gets an alert on his phone from his security camera.
And I was like, what is this? And I called my sister. I was like, there's a naked man in my backyard.
He is only covering his face with a T-shirt and a surgical mask. The man's naked, and he is pleasuring himself as he looks through the glass door into a home.
Nasty.
I know. How ridiculous is that guy? He's wearing a mask outside. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next story, we're going to Clearwater, where Florida history has now been made. A great milestone in Florida culture has been passed as Hooters now turns 40 years old. Hooters, the first, the pioneer trailblazer of the restaurant chains. And just to think, it was in the 80s. That some brave Florida man decided that he not only wanted to have chicken wings or beautiful women scantily clad, he wanted to have both chicken wings and beautiful women scantily clad. He dared to dream, and he made his dream a reality. And then when the internet came along and it wasn't so hard to see scantily clad women anymore, did he stop? Did he fold? Did he quit? No, this Florida man braved the internet access to scantily clad women and persisted. A true American hero, or Florida hero.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
My first memory was I was 2 years old. I was at 2 a.m. I went out of my crib, and I stood in the middle of our living room, and I was fascinated by the fact that it was in black and white. There was no light on. Everything was black and white. It mesmerized me and terrified my parents when they couldn't find me in the crib. Barry at 888-688 WALT. Barry, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Yeah, hi. Well, I wanted to know, you said you prefer large curved cottage streets. Why do you prefer that for?
Thank you very much for the call, Barry. It's a personal taste question. I appreciate the call. I can't explain it. To me, it's more satisfying to have whole milk, large curd cottage cheese than fat-free small curd cottage cheese. These are just very personal preferences. And I cannot find the large curd cottage cheese almost ever. And that's why I was thrilled to find a Walmart in Lake Mohegan, New York, that actually carried a full line, a full array of cottage cheeses. I hate to tell you that I've reached a point in my life where my primary snack food is plain yogurt and or cottage cheese. Mohegan Lake store, the Mohegan Lake Walmart store, is my new favorite Walmart. Now, how often am I going to get there? Almost never. But that's my new favorite store. All right, what was your first memory? 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Let's see. Walter Sterling Show. Now, right now, if you think about, if you pick up your newspaper or your internet website, your news website, or you listen to this station, you get information, you're gonna see all sorts of stories about gun violence, people threatening to kill people at trunk or treat shows, trouble with the schools. I like to look at newspapers and web pages and newsletters from other places in the world that for some reason are never covered on these very serious, very important talk shows, these very serious people. You know, it's unconstitutional what they're doing. Yes, it's how come we don't have younger listeners? Yeah, let me help you why you don't have younger listeners. You keep paying bumper music, problem number one. You keep playing bumper music from the last century. How come we don't have younger listeners? And you keep talking about constitutional issues. We talk about strippers. That's why we have actual ratings. Every other show at this time, it's an embarrassment. All right. Think about the stories you've dealt with today, the news stories you may have heard or ignored today. They tended to be about violence, tragedies. Okay, now imagine you're in Monaco. Just imagine you're in Monaco. Now, I want you to hear something. Yeah. You have, Sean, I can't pull it up. You have a clip that says Riviera on it, Riviera Radio, something like that. Pull that up, hold on to it, and I will give you the magic cue because this is a very professional show. Now, imagine you're in Monaco in the south of France. On the Mediterranean, and the Mediterranean's always like a perfect 68 degrees, and the air's always a perfect 72, and there's something crystalline about the air. It always smells incredible. It's as though nature perfumes the air in Monaco. It's an incredible thing. Well, what's the big news story in Monaco right now? You ready? Every year, Port Hercule hosts the Monaco Yacht Show, an impressive show dedicated to luxury yachting. The International Monaco Yacht Show exhibits an impressive fleet of large yachts for purchase or charter, each with their own stand. Participants also have access to a selection of companies related to the yachting and luxury industry, such as manufacturers, designers, yacht brokers, lenders, gadgets, water toys, luxury brands, manufacturers of cars and high-end motorcycles. Every year since 1991, the event has brought together a wealthy international clientele to the Monaco Yacht Show. That's their big story in Monaco. You know, when you go to the beach or to the lake or down to the Jersey Shore and you want to have some lounge chairs with you to take to the beach, to the edge of the lake, to the edge of the shore. You want some lounge chairs, and you load up the trunk of your car, and you drive there with all your lounge chairs and your folding chairs. And then as you get to the beach, it's just hell to get them all out, to walk them to the beach, to And then at the end of the day, when you're tired and you're sweaty and you realize what your significant other really looks like in a swimsuit, and you have to drudge back to your car, you lift them all up, and all of a sudden, all those chairs, all those beach chairs feel very heavy. And all the stuff you lug to the beach in the morning, you're going, why did we bring all this stuff with us? We didn't need it. It doesn't go like that in Monaco. In Monaco, the way it works is you walk to the beach, and the chairs are there and reserved. You reserve your lounge chair the day before. You reserve the type of lounge chair you want the day before in Monaco. And you order your food that will be brought from a premium French restaurant to your lounge chair in Monaco. And then, sir, you look around, you realize that none of these French women have tops on. This is a vacation. The south of France is our fantasy. Now imagine this. Imagine you own a radio station in the south of France, and it's the only English-speaking radio station in the south of France. It's Riviera Radio. Let's listen, Sean.
Just coming up to 1 minute after four on 106.5 Riviera Radio. Down in Saint-Tropez, it's lovely and sunny at the moment, and we're looking at temperatures down there of 27 degrees Celsius.
Can you imagine? You're listening to the radio, and you get the weather report for Monaco, and then, oh, gee, Saint-Tropez. It's remarkable. I asked my wife to marry me in Monaco. That's where we got engaged, in Monaco. And I'm really glad I did, because there's no bad town in the south of France. It is the most spectacular trip imaginable. Spending a week or 10 days there is the best vacation you could ever have. Immediately, you feel wealthy, well cared for, well fed, beautiful. I have said this on the radio many, many times over the years that you and I have shared time together. I have mentioned Monaco, mentioned the south of France, how much I'd love to go there. And at the same time, I've often talked about it would be great to get together with you. It would be fun to spend time with you, because Midnight Misfits are the best listeners in the world, the most engaged listeners in the world. I mentioned this to the point where a travel company named Colette, which sounds romantic enough right there, Colette said, well, we'll set up a trip for you with your listener to go to Monaco. It would be very limited. Very few listeners would be able to participate. It's an exclusive, wonderful trip. We'd really get to know each other. I'd bring my wife. She'd tell you these amazing stories about our time there, take you shopping, take you dining. We'd have a great time. We really would. I said, well, we can't just spring this on a Midnight Misfit or an introvert. This is something that has to be absorbed. The trip would be next October. You and I would go to Monaco next October, and all the details would be arranged. And unlike most group trips, we would go to one hotel. I said, I'm not moving to 10 different hotels in 10 days. No, no. One hotel, south of France in October next year. Plenty of time to arrange for it, save for it, get your passport, all that. But the rest of the details would be handled by Colette, because I am not any good at detail, as you know, and I don't think you're any good at detail. There's a lot of information that I want you to get. Here's where you find it. WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. Just scroll down, read about it, talk to your family about it. And over the next few weeks, you got plenty of time. Please join me. Wouldn't that be fun? We've tried to get together before and have had the strangest problems with it. There are going to be no problems with this. I made darn sure no problems with this. Walter Sterling Show. Scroll down. Get the information. Let's you and I take a trip together to the south of France and listen to Riviera Radio in English. This is Sterling on Sunday. All right, you and I should always be speaking. 888-688-9258. 888-6- I'm looking for something. Hold on a minute. Hold on. You know, I hate PCs. I have a Mac. It melted. My Mac just melted. And therefore, I have been forced to use a lender PC until next month when I can afford a new Mac. Yes, that's how it works. Here we go. This is what I want. I can't believe this stupid thing. All right, what have we got here? Yes, let's listen to Ashley Benson. I always like to listen to Ashley.
Don't push it too hard. I'm just thinking about farts.
What an elegant, delightful woman.
Don't push it too hard. I'm just thinking about farts.
Ashley Benson. What is it about Ashley Benson? You know what it is? I'll tell you. This is disgusting. Ashley Benson has the most remarkable breasts I've ever seen in my life. Alexandra Daddario and Ashley Benson, the two of them, have the most remarkable breasts ever imaginable. What's this? It says Ashley. Alex, what is this one? Let's see.
Hey guys, I'm Madison, the maid of honor. First, I'd like to thank everyone for the compliments on my dress. I got it on sale for $40.
I have to make it clear. That's not Ashley. That's not Alex Daddario. This is the hysterical Alex Worley, who lives in Wisconsin and explains life in Wisconsin to the rest of us.
Hey guys, I'm Madison, the maid of honor. First, I'd like to thank everyone for the compliments on my dress. I got it on sale for $49.99 at TJ Maxx. Jane and I met at the top of the water slide, The Plunge, which is very fitting since today she took the plunge with Paul. And just like that day on the water slide, today I asked Jane, you sure you want to do this or no? And luckily for Paul, it wasn't an or no. It was a yeah, no, for sure. I knew Paul would make the perfect boyfriend when I found out he had a boat and a cabin. But I knew he'd make the perfect husband when I found out he had 4 Packers season tickets. So please join me in raising a glass. Jane, Paul, I will always be cheering for you and next to you at Packers games. May your love last longer than all of Wisconsin winters combined.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening. Billions of years ago, an incredibly powerful radio signal was blasted into space and toward Earth. Details on that with Dave Scott coming up in just seconds now. Weather, Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Did you ever try to do the right thing at work and then be threatened with termination? Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. That almost happened to me. I'll tell you about it coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This week's edition of Florida Stories has a little bit of everything. We've got druggies acting crazy, kicking indoors. We got shoplifters pepper spraying cops. We got a naked dude on a Ring doorbell camera. And we even have some cousin love. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell a story from my high school years where I was almost framed for a crime I did not commit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida Story, we're going to go to Largo. And a couple years ago, this guy who was 76 at the time had some car trouble. So he took it to a mechanic. Mechanic, 50 years old. We're talking about not just grown men. These are older men who should know better. But it turns out that the 76-year-old man was not happy with the job that the mechanic did. Well, here it is 2 years later, and I don't know what has happened in the last 2 years because the story doesn't tell us, but this feud has now escalated, and one day the guy, now 78 years old, this Florida man shows up at his Florida mechanic's garage, pulls out a gun, and shoots him. The mechanics, the garage owner pulls out his gun and shoots the 78-year-old guy. Well, people are freaking out and calling the cops. The ambulance get there, but not in time. Both Florida men died. Both Florida men killed each other at the same time. They both lost. And what's the Florida twist? Come on, dude. Does there have to be a Florida twist on that? These two guys shot and killed each other at the same time. I mean, a 78-year-old guy's running out there. His first 78 years of his life, no murders. But in the 78th year, he just decided he's going to take a life. That's not weird enough for you. And it's not weird enough that the shop owner that he went to when he shot him, he was carrying a gun and he just pulled it out and shot him back. When's the last time this happened in your town? Probably never. Unless you're in like Lincoln County, New Mexico, never. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to an unincorporated part of Marion County, Florida. And in this Florida story, we have a guy who shows up yelling outside of a house. He swears he needs to protect the woman inside and that she is in danger. So she comes out on her porch, tries to shoo him away. So she goes back in, shuts the door, locks it. He kicks it in. And then he comes in and he sits down on the couch. And you know what he asks for? Do you have any water? Yes, I would like a glass of water. She got him a glass of water. Anything else I can do for you? Random messed up stranger who just kicked in my front door and is sitting on my couch. She's like, do you have anything to smoke? She said, no, I do not have anything to smoke. And the story's not clear if he was asking for a cigarette or weed or bath salts or it's Florida. So who knows what? Straight up crystal meth or... banana peels. I don't know. Story's weird enough already. So then she gets on the phone and she calls the cop and dude runs out. And the weird part is, and I don't know what part is stranger. The story says that it's not apparent whether or not they knew each other previously. And I don't know which scenario is weirder. If she knew the guy, then he just comes in and breaks in, asks for a glass of water and leaves. That doesn't seem right. But if she doesn't know the guy, he just comes in, asks for a glass of water and then leaves. That's not right either. So I'm going to chalk it up to the classic Florida excuse of drugs.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Go to Walter Sterling Show, waltersterlingshow.com. You can learn everything about James Parker and Florida Stories and how he puts it together. It's pretty cool. Plus, scroll down a little, and you will discover everything you could ever imagine about the south of France and how you and I can take a vacation together next October. Plenty of time to plan, plenty of time to get ready. Take a look at this. I really want to go with you. Can't take a lot of people. Get the information, waltersterlingshow.com. Let's go. Let's treat ourselves, huh? Isn't it time to get away? Now, I have to talk about this guy. Cool Bobby J tonight had a concert at the State Theater in Easton, Pennsylvania. It was a doo-wop concert. Jay Siegel's Tokens, Brian Hyland, Chris Montez, the Capris. But this was hosted by Cool Bobby J. I mention this because Cool Bobby J, Robert Bachman, a couple months ago, I noticed that he actually put television stations on the air on the East Coast in Delaware, owned them. Got the licenses, put them on the air. I got in touch with them because I wanted to help my kid get a summer job. And you can see pictures of my kid at Walter Sterling at the Facebook page. Go to my Facebook page, Walter Sterling. I put up some brand new pictures of my Dorothy committing her passion of television. Imagine that, the embarrassment to me of television. But Cool Bobby J went out of his way to connect me with people who could help Dorothy. And I said, you know, this is really nice of you. I mean, he was all over this. He did everything he could to make this happen. Well, the reason he did it is he remembered that I put him on Sirius XM. I put him on Sirius XM. I was so busy during that time of programming Sirius XM. I didn't even remember everybody I put on, but he remembered. and he was grateful and gracious. And Robert Bachman, anytime, Cool Bobby J, anytime you need anything promoted, this is your stage, buddy. This is your stage. I thank you. What a gracious, kind man he is. Dave Scott, there was a signal, a radio signal from space that came toward Earth over a billion years ago. And this news was released this week. Do you know about this story, Dave?
Yeah, I think Keith Richards is the one who actually sent it out. You know? Because he's been around forever and will be around forever. You know? But, a new signal coming out that says to be a billion year or a million years old plus. It's amazing that we are just getting to this because, I mean, 9 billion light years away is where they believe that this signal came from. And they're not giving up too much about what it says or anything, but it has a, you know, and I'm not a scientist. I don't know what this means. But according to McGill University out of Toronto, they are basically saying that it covered a wavelength of 21 centimeters. So for our good American friends, that's about, about 17 inches long on their giant metro wave. And I'm telling you, this is something to be excited about, because if that was put out by another civilization, the fact that we are just receiving it, even though whoever sent it out is probably long gone, dead, met their own god, they are probably very excited to see what it's about. But you know what? I think in the end, Walter, it'll be just like everything else. It'll be that the universe somewhere out there farted some hydrogen gas for a star formation to build a new galaxy, and that's what it'll be chalked up to rather than aliens.
Dave Scott, do you believe we have received signals from other civilizations that have intelligible messages? Do you believe that's happened?
I believe it's more than happened. I believe they've sent their own spacecraft here in order to get here through wormholes and time warps that they have been able to do. And you know what? People are having these encounters. And let me put it by this way, Walter. I think about 90% of the sightings that people have in the sky are misinformation, whether it's the International Space Station, whether it's Starlink, whether it's other satellites in the sky. But there's that 10% that we cannot explain. Okay, and that 10% of people who have seen UFO landings, have seen UFOs hovering above their house, shooting beams down into their gardens and their farmers' fields, I believe we are being visited. They know it. The United States government knows it. And that's why it's still a backlash today on why we're not getting any more UFO information on whether or not we are being visited.
The UFO hearings shut down mighty quick, and there's been no trail to those hearings. There's been no follow-up questions, no follow-up coverage. Only one cable network, by the way, covered them rigorously, and that was News Nation. They covered it vigorously. Fox News didn't. CNN, who knows what they cover? If it didn't, you know, if it didn't happen in Beirut, it's not going to be on CNN. It was very strange. Everything I've heard from actual scientists about wormholes, though, is that if something goes into a wormhole, it's going to get crushed.
Yeah. But what if they, with their advanced technology, have been able to figure out how to use those, much like we figured out a way to put it on television with Star Trek or Star Wars?
The other thing is that We assume that an advanced civilization has all of our technology that we have, plus all of their technology. And I'm not so prepared to assume that. What if these other civilizations are very good at space travel? They got that down. And very good at time travel. But it never occurred to them to shoot each other. It never occurred to them to kill each other, so they built no weapons. They never occurred that they need a weapon. They come here, and they see the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb, guns, lasers, and they're hiding like crazy.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised by that. I mean, let's think about it for a second. If there are aliens coming here and we are attracting them with our big Kmart blue light special light that shoots out into the universe with all the sound and light frequencies that we are putting out there, we are the universe's greatest reality TV show. We have everything. We got sex. We got drugs. We got rock and roll. We got Florida man, Florida woman. We have military shootouts. We got pornography. We got absolutely everything that would attract any type of viewership. And, you know, why wouldn't they want to check us out? We're the only idiots around who are doing this to ourselves, at least it seems that way.
Pornography. This is the 25th anniversary of the Hooters chain this week. And therefore, I looked up Lynn Austin, who was the original Hooters girl who appeared nude in Playboy. And let me tell you, it certainly makes Hooters food seem attractive because, as you know, Hooters food is terrible. They've never figured out actually how to serve food. But the servers, no problem. How do I hear Dave Scott during the week?
Well, it's Hooters. No, I'm sorry. It's spacedoutradio.com. You can check us on out. And thank you, Walter, for bringing us on with you again.
Always the best time. We have the best time, Dave Scott. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. Coming up, you and I are going to talk about the broadcast signal. We're going to talk about the challenges of being an introvert, because that's what you and I are. And let's talk a little bit more about our trip to Monaco. Coming up in seconds, Sterling on Sunday. Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-WALT. Now, I want you to go to my Facebook page, Walter Sterling, Sterling. Go to my Facebook page, and I want you to scroll down and take a look at my daughter, Dorothy, in her heaven. She is a student at the Newhouse School at Syracuse University. Her first year was hell because of COVID. It was so bad. There were restrictions on movement and where you could go and how you had to stay in your room like a prison, have food brought to you. It was insane, and it was stupid. It was stupid, as we all know. And she had to finally quit. She had to quit. She had to take a semester off just to gather her wits and to get it together. But now she is thriving, and she's a star, and she's being offered jobs. And I'm just really proud of my Dorothy. And I'm equally proud of my Meredith, who's at SUNY Purchase. And she's discovered that instead of being an art history major or a fine art history major, she's probably going to wind up being a psychology major just to be able to figure out what the hell her father did. What the hell did he do? It's crazy. We have a clip there, Sean, that says introvert. Now, if I had a Mac, I could play it, but I have a PC which keeps turning itself off. It constantly keeps turning off the screen. It times out in 8 seconds. Like, God help us, you know, and then it'll want to update the software. Oh, how could any of you use a PC? How is that possible that this became a thing? Whereas Macs solve all the problems. I'll never understand it. Play that introvert cut.
Don't you hate working together? To the introvert, it's frustrating because it's not very efficient. Other people might have not good ideas, otherwise known as bad ideas, but the group decides to go with it because that person was loud enough. And even though working with others theoretically should create less work for the introvert, just the fact that you have to coordinate with other people can actually make it feel like more work.
And whenever I hear the word team, I withdraw. Whenever anybody says, this is a team decision, I immediately withdraw because I don't know how to make a team decision. I don't know how to participate in a group decision. You give me the problem, I will take the problem home. I'll sit in the corner, and I'll come back and bring the team an answer. You know what an IEP is? What is it? Instructional, educational, accommodations or something. It's for kids who need a little extra help, either intellectually or physically, and my 11-year-old needs a little bit of both. I'm sitting there on a Zoom call with her team to help her, and they said every wrong word. And I'll see what you think coming up in just seconds. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ben from Lost.
When did you start sleeping with a bottle of scotch by the bed?
When the nightmares started.
I want to share with you the horror of my recent IEP meeting for my 11-year-old daughter. That's in seconds now. Weather, Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This week's edition of Florida Stories has a little bit of everything. We've got druggies acting crazy, kicking indoors. We got shoplifters pepper spraying cops. We got a naked dude on a Ring doorbell camera. And we even have some cousin love. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's all coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell a story from my high school years where I was almost framed for a crime I did not commit. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story about crime that happened when I was a kid that kind of shaped my way into going into the New York City Police Department. So it was about 1983, 1984. I'm in high school. I get this job working at a gas station. And basically, I worked a couple of nights a week during school nights and every weekend. And the weekends were very slow. It was a large gas station which had probably about 8 bays in it, sold a lot of gasoline, but on Sundays, there were no mechanics. It was basically the teenagers ran the show. So it was my manager, who was a year older than me and myself, and I was out, expected to run out there and pump gas. So one Sunday morning, these two rough-looking guys pull into the gas station in this white Cadillac, and I walk up to the car, and the guy barks at me. He goes, "Fill it up." I said, "Okay." So I fill up the tank. He hands me an Exxon credit card, and it says Dr. Alvin Rosenfeld. And I go, "Are you kidding me?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm a doctor." So I said, "Okay, just wait right here." I walk into the office. I show the manager. And the old days, you had to take the card and swipe it and everything. If you suspected the card was stolen, you had to call the credit card company. So we called the credit card company. They said it wasn't reported stolen. So I told the manager, I go, "These guys are punks from the neighborhood. They're a couple of drug addicts." He goes, nah, just give them the gas. Don't worry about it." I said, "All right." So I go out there, and then the guy turns to me, and I go to give him the credit card back. He goes, "I got to buy some things." So he goes into the office. This guy, Dr. Rosenfeld, goes and buys like 4 cases of oil, shocks, windshield wipers. He spends about $500 on this credit card. And I'm telling the manager, I'm like, "Listen, something's not right. This guy is definitely not a doctor." I go, "These guys are junkies." He goes, no, everything's legit." And he sells it to them and they leave. I come into work on Monday about 3 o'clock in the afternoon after school, and the owner wants to wring my neck. He pulls me into his office and he goes, "You're either too stupid to work here." He says, "Or you're in on this." He goes, "I just got banged with $500 with a stolen credit card because now the card came back stolen." I said, "Boss, listen, I didn't do it." You know, the manager wanted to do this. So he goes, "All right, would you recognize this guy if you see him again?" I said, "Yeah." About 5 minutes later, who comes into the gas station in the white Cadillac? Dr. Rosenfeld. I tell the owner, I says, "He's right there." So the mechanics come running out. They surround the guy's car. Cops come. They lock him up. And the funny thing is, while the cops are there, the guy's handcuffed in the back seat of the car, and he's threatening me. And I go, "What are you threatening me for? Who told you to come back here? You know, you were in the clear. I didn't know your name, and now you came back. What was I supposed to do, take the hit?" So you never know who you're going to run into in the Bronx. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
My 11-year-old daughter, I'm Walter Sterling, and we're live. Hi. My 11-year-old daughter reads at a kindergarten level. She cannot write, and she speaks at a fourth grade level. She is charming, beautiful, smart, and that's why she'll be okay. Big heart, good kid, great kid. However, I sit in these IEP meetings and have since she was in preschool, and I sit there and I say, she can't read. She can't write. They say, oh, she's so charming. It's great to have her in the classroom. It's a ray of sunshine when she comes in. And, oh, by the way, it'd be great if we saw her more, meaning she cuts a lot of school. She cuts a lot of school progressively because it's progressively difficult for her, and she's progressively aware that she is different than other kids, and therefore her day is hard. Every single thing she does is not rote. There's nothing transparent. She has to learn everything from scratch almost every day. And they say, oh, she's a delight to have here. I don't care if she's a delight to have here. I need her to read. Because, you see, she's not going to go to middle school if she can't read. And her father is an old dad. I cannot live the rest of my life with any doubt that she's going to be capable of taking care of her life, taking care of everything that can come to her. And that starts with being able to read. If you can't read, forget it. When my kids were in public school in New York City, get this, in New York City, they were in a 600-kid elementary school. And the principal of that elementary public school in New York City had one mission from God. Her mission was that every single kid in that school was going to read. My third grader, Dorothy, entered that school. She could not read at grade level. The minute that principal found out that Dorothy couldn't read at grade level, she gave us a plan, a written plan, in a public school, not a private school, in a public school that said, this is how we're going to get her to grade level by the end of the year, and they did. Well, now I've got a kid in fifth grade who cannot read, who can't read. She's struggling with Dr. Seuss, a kindergarten-level Dr. Seuss book. She's trying, but she can't read. She can't write. She speaks well enough, but she's speaking at a fourth grade level. And she has some short-term memory problems. I'm on this IEP call, and the first thing I hear is we had said, okay, we don't want her in any special class right now. We'd like her to have more reading intervention classes. We want her taken out of this special and put into more reading intervention classroom time. I get on this six-person Zoom call, and the first thing I hear is, the decision to take her out of a special is not up to an individual. This is a team decision. And right there, she said the magic word, team decision. And that took me out of it. That took me out of any logical train of thought and threw me into the sea of an emotional cauldron that I have been listening to for 7 years about this kid. 7 years about this kid where I've had to listen to their crap about why she can't read. And about, well, we can donate, we can dedicate 22 minutes a day to this. No, you will dedicate 40 hours a day to it until that child can read. And I got mad, and I got progressively mad through the call. And I said, I'm very annoyed about this. I'm offended by this. And then one of them goes, oh, well, I apologize if you're offended. I said, don't apologize. Apologies are for wimps. And there my jersey came out. Apologies are for wimps. Well, it went like that. And I was in rare form. Six people looking at me making a simple decision. This was a one-person decision. One assistant principal, one homeroom teacher could have made this very simple adjustment and would have in New York City. That would have been a one-person decision, wouldn't have even been two conversations. Yes, it makes sense. We want her to read. Instead, when I get off the Zoom call, because I was driving, thank God, when I get off the Zoom call, they say to my wife, we don't want him ever speaking to these teachers again. I have to protect my teachers. from this abuse. We can't have this sort of abuse. And I said to my wife, okay, if I'm not any more Zoom calls, if not I'm not offending the people that we're paying, if I'm not offending them, does that mean she's going to read better? Will that make her reading improve? And then I'm told I owe the homeroom teacher an amends. An amends. Not an apology, an amends. But I'm right. Because my job, first and foremost, is to keep her safe, and the second is to be her advocate. And there's no other advocate there. Instead, I was listening to why we can't give her more dedicated reading time. And that's because, and this is what they said, there's no more room. We don't have any, all the slots for reading intervention are taken up. In her schedule, there's nothing, no more reading we can give her. Instead, if she doesn't like that special course, we can do something within the special course that she might like more. No, I don't care what she likes. She needs to read. She needs to read. And I'm going to be the biggest jerk in the world if that's what it takes to advocate for my 11-year-old angel. I make no apologies. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Hello, friends. It's me. Yes, I cut my hair. TikTok saw it first. I always wanted to cut my hair, so I did.
Sterling on Sunday. Now, for Good Minutes.
Lorraine Martin is president and CEO of the National Safety Council. You know she's the president because she always wears her seatbelt. You and I are going to talk with Lorraine Martin about the opioid overdose situation and how it's ridiculous that such a simple and effective and an efficient way to help people overcome an overdose of opioids, it has to be pushed into the workplace. What percent of the workplace in America do you feel, Lorraine, has naloxone available to their employees?
Right now, this simple tool called naloxone, which is an opioid overdose reversal medication, is in very few workplaces. This is just still something we're all getting to understand its effectiveness. It's now over the counter. That just happened by the FDA in March. So that's a really important sort of landmark for us. But very few standard workplaces have understood that this is a preparedness, an emergency preparedness tool that they need to have on hand.
If a person is in the workplace and having an overdose of an opioid, a picture on the radio, just a snapshot of two or three things that would make you go, whoa, whoa, we got a problem here.
Yeah, someone's not breathing, that they have dilation of the eyes, that they are unconscious or they're not responding to you in some way. Those are some of the telltale signs. And then it's really important to get the training if you can, because it can help you understand whether maybe it's a heart attack or something else by looking at some things that aren't happening for the person. So the other important thing to know is that if you use naloxone on someone and they're not having an overdose, you can't hurt them, which is a really important thing for folks to know so that they can just step in and take the action that they think is warranted, even if there might be other multiple things going on. Right now, about 9% of all the deaths in a workplace, Walter, and everyone is tragic, but 9% of all deaths in workplaces are from overdoses. And in our country, 200 people a day are losing their life to an overdose. And many of those are opioid related. And as we know right now, it can just be one pill with the fentanyl crisis going on in our country. It can be one pill and it can kill. So it's really important for us to have this emergency preparedness training for everyone, including workplaces, and to have this reversal drug on hand.
Lorraine, you said something really important. I heard you say this and I went, oh, that is so good to know about naloxone, which is that it's an inhaler. I don't have to give an injection. I don't have to get somebody to swallow. It's a nasal spray. That's amazing. And then the next thing I was going to say to you is, well, what if I give it to someone who doesn't have an overdose? And the answer is nothing.
Yeah, it responds to the actual chemistry going on in your brain that's causing you to stop being able to have the functions of things like breathing, which are really important. And it interrupts that in your brain. And if that's not going on for you, then it's not going to have any effect on you. So it's really important to be able to have this on hand and have it on hand quickly. Because really what you're trying to do is have that bridge between when someone's in an emergency and when you can get 911 and have emergency response on hand.
How do I sign up for your program, the Respond Ready Workplace?
You can go to respondreadynsc.org/respondready, and you can get all the resources here to help you not only know how to train, but navigate this and get some information on addressing whatever your workplace challenge might be of bringing this into your emergency response capability.
Lorraine Martin is the CEO of the National Safety Council. It is an honor to have you on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you. An honor to meet you. A paid promotion with the National Safety Council pre-recorded. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. This is live radio. There's nothing else like it. Oh, my gosh, look at that. We're on KDKA. That means that every Pittsburgh potty is in use right now. People going, oh, my God, when is this going to be over? This is terrible. And all my buddies at PNC Bank who managed to close my account without giving me a reason. That's right. New hobby of banks, a national phenomenon. They're closing accounts for no reason. Wasn't overdrawn. There were no problems. I'd had the account there at PNC for 8 years. 8 years. My branch manager said, gee, we like you. We have no problem. It has to do with your relationship with the bank. My relationship with the bank, according to the branch manager, was just fine. There were no problems. But it was closed. But the scary part is, okay, you want to close an account, you want to get rid of business, you want a national talk show host bashing you, PNC, that's your business. But the fact that you don't have to give a reason is unbelievable. And this is going to be my mission with Elizabeth Warren and Sherrod Brown to get that change. They're on the Treasury, Finance, whatever it is, committee. I'm going to get that law enacted that every bank, if they shut down your account, they must be compelled to tell you why. Because if it's serious enough to shut it down, you don't want to repeat it. It'd be good for the banking industry if they were compelled to educate me as to why I could no longer have a PNC account. The branch manager wasn't told by PNC, Pittsburgh, why.